We're continuing our studies in 1 Thessalonians, and I would like to read a couple of verses in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12, where Paul says that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. We need to be reminded that Paul is writing to brethren. He is not writing to the average Christian. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother." He is writing to those who are interested in doing the will of the Father. And those that are interested in doing the will of the Father are finding out what the will of the Father is so they can do it. And there's a lot of Christians that are not interested in learning the Word of God to do the will of the Father. A brother is one who is interested in entering the kingdom of the heavens. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." There are going to be those who think that they are qualified to enter the kingdom, but they will not be qualified. And so, a brother is one who is interested in entering into the kingdom of the heavens. And Paul is addressing the brethren. In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, it says, "Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus." In 1 Thessalonians 4:10, Paul says, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." And what he's talking about is loving the brethren. The point I want you to get is that the brethren is upon the mind of Paul when he is writing this book. He is not writing to the average child of God. He is saying to them, "I want you to strive to be quiet." In verse 11 it says that you study to be quiet. The word study is in the present tense. And this word is also translated to strive and to labor. I think Paul appreciated the fact it's hard to keep your mouth shut. There's people talking all the time. Talk radio. When I was growing up, of course there were a lot of talk on the radio, but they were telling stories. Now today you have radio stations that they just talk all day long about anything and everything. People are talking. People are bragging about what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. But anyway, Paul says, "I want you to labor to be quiet." And I think we'll see in just a moment why we need to labor in doing this. Personally, I think that this laboring or striving to be quiet has to do with doctrine. Because he is talking about those that are without. And those who have the knowledge that the church at Thessalonica had because they were chosen, beloved of God, they were excited about the things that they had learned. And so therefore they were very talkative about it. So Paul is saying, look, you study, you strive to be quiet. And this is in the present tense. In fact, the word to be quiet is also in the present tense. And this word quiet is also translated, keep your seat. Quit standing up. Quit drawing attention to yourself. That's the key. When you're talking, you're desiring others to take note or to listen. When you're not quiet, I know that when we had recitation in school, when I was in grammar school, what did the teacher have you do when she wanted you to recite? Crawl under the desk? No. Just stand up and recite. Stand up so that people can hear you and see you. But we are to study to keep our seat, to be quiet. James tells us we need to be slow to speak. In James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. The point here is swift to hear. You've got two ears. You're supposed to be listening twice as much as you're to be talking because you've only got one mouth. I don't think that really applies, but that's a good principle. Listen twice as long as you talk. And by the way, he is talking to beloved brethren. Be slow to swift to hear and slow to speak. Proverbs 10 and verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth no sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. What happens when one talks too much? He begins to extend the truth. He begins to expand on beyond what is reality. And that's sin. If you're wise, you will refrain your lips. I'm not trying to encourage anybody not to speak. But the thing about it is this, be sure that it's the time to speak and you have something to say. In Ecclesiastes 5, it says, be not rash with thy mouth. In other words, don't let your mouth write a check your body can't cash. Okay? Don't be rash with your mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter. Therefore, let thy words be few. For our words to be few means forethought. Few words means you have to think about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. And that's important. You need to think with your mouth shut, in other words. That's the whole point. Proverbs 27 tells, let another man praise you and not thy own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Watch what you say. Let someone else talk about what you've done, not what you're going to do. So I think all of these are principles and behavior that is becoming to us. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11 it says, and that ye study to be quiet, do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. The word do in this verse is also in the present tense. It is also translated practice. Practice your own business. The word business really is not in the Greek text. It's practice your own ministry. I think of it in this term because of the context that it's given to us in. We're to be continually doing the things that God has called us to do, our ministry, and to work with our own hands. The word work is also in the present tense. It's continually working with our own hands as we commanded you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 and 29, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Part of the ministry that we have, or part of doing our own business, is ministering to other people. If we are all the time in need, in the sense that we cannot minister to other people materially or spiritually, our testimony and our own thing is hurt. If we're all the time poor-mouthing ourselves, it hurts our ministries to other people. And I think that this passage of Scripture is dealing with ministry to other people because it's talking about, or it tells us, that we need to walk honestly toward them that are without. And those that are without, there are two categories of them that are without. It's those who don't have ears to hear. And then there are those who are without because of sin. If there is a part of the family that's called a brother, and he is living in sin, he's without. And we need a ministry to him. We need to walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. I don't think this has to do with lack of material things, but it's lack of ministry, lack of opportunity. We need to be aware of our own business or our own ministries that we might be able to minister to others that have slipped away. And we'll go on, we'll get into that a little bit more here in just a moment. Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28-29. Working with your hands the thing that which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ministering to people financially or physically, whatever, materially, opens the door for you to minister to them spiritually and to edify them. Then in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. The word honestly is also translated honorably or becomingly. We're to walk, and this is in the present tense, honorably toward them that are without, that we may have lack of nothing or lack of opportunity. You don't behave yourself, you're not going to have an opportunity. Talking to Joe Borkovich last night, and it's because of his lifestyle that he has before his sons-in-law that he has an opportunity to minister the word to them. If he didn't have a lifestyle to match what he talks or what he says, there would be no ministry there. They can see that, and therefore they listen to what he has to say. So we need to have a lifestyle to those around us that will open doors of utterance for us. Now, we need to walk honorably toward them that are without. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says, having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as an evildoer, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's going to come a day when the Lord's going to speak to them. And your behavior and your lifestyle is going to prepare that day when God can speak to them. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be conscious of that. And so therefore, our lifestyle, the word conversation here is not talking. It has to do with lifestyle. Our lifestyle needs to be honest toward the Gentiles. When the Lord begins to deal with them, they can respond to what God is giving them or dealing with them. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 16, it says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you or accuse your good conversation in Christ. Another thing that will happen is those who observe your lifestyle and they accuse you, they will be ashamed of themselves. James 3 tells us, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So we're encouraged to walk honorably so there will be no lack of opportunity for ministry or no lack of opportunity to share what God has given us. In 1 Thessalonians 4:12 again it says, but we're to walk honestly toward them that are without, that we may have lack of nothing. In Mark chapter 4, we have this phrase, them that are without. In verse 2, it says, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Jesus taught doctrine by parables. There are some people that don't believe you can teach doctrine in parables, but you do. Verse 9, and he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Those that are without are those who don't have ears to hear. But there's also that other group of people that are without that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to just read that, verses 9 through 13. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, he's not talking about these people as being those that are without. He is talking about those that are in the fellowship that don't have ears to hear, and those in the fellowship that are behaving like the man in verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat. In other words, here is a brother or a fellow who is called a brother, one who's had a testimony of seeking to enter the kingdom, and then he has changed his lifestyle. And he's just saying simply the fact that God will judge him, and you're to separate yourself from him as far as fellowship is concerned, but you don't want to just simply lose any opportunity to bring him back into fellowship. Also, the fact that those that are without are those who are not interested in entering the kingdom, and of course we can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 11, where it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Those that are without are not going to have an inheritance in the coming kingdom of God. Now, how do we apply this walking quietly, or study to be quiet, to do our own ministry, to work with our own hands so that we can have to minister to others materially and other ways, and to walk honorably toward them that are without? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, we see Peter's counsel to us when he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is with you, that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. When Jesus taught, he taught in parables. The teaching of parables stimulated what? The teaching in parables stimulated questions. As soon as he got through with the lesson of the parable, nobody understood what he had to say. So a parable does not make a good illustration. The apostles didn't even know what he was talking about. So when he was alone, he spoke to them because they asked him a question. This is part of being quiet. We're to provide answers, not lectures. That was the thought I had here. I have dumped on people more than they deserve many times. I have answered questions that they didn't even have. I've given answers to people that people didn't even have the questions. And that's not what the Lord is interested in us doing. He is interested in us having a ministry in such a way that God can see, that the people can see that we have a hope and a desire to stand in the presence of our Lord. And through this testimony, our conversation of being quiet, not lecturing, not dumping on people, but being ready to give answers. People will see that you have some answers. And if they see you have some answers, they're going to ask some questions. And so we need to be steady, we need to be diligent to be quiet and be ready to give answers. Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, that is talking about the mystery of Christ, verse 3, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. When people are not asking questions, don't waste your time giving them answers. That's walking in wisdom toward them that are without. Those that are without, don't ask questions. They don't have ears to hear. They didn't stick around to find out what the Lord was talking about and asking the questions, but the apostles had ears to hear. And He says, it's unto you is given to know these mysteries. I've given you ears to hear. And so therefore they ask a question. Notice that it says that let your speech be seasoned with salt. We have a salt shaker on our table. That salt shaker has a lid on it. Because if you take a salt shaker with no lid on it and you turn it up to sprinkle some salt on your food, what have you got? Something that isn't worth eating. So salt shaking has to do with few what? Words. Few words. Season. Few words. Those few words, your ministry to other people will allow those few words to stimulate thirst. Salt will stimulate thirst. What happens when you dump too much salt in a stew? You know what you have to do to counteract the salt? The way you kill too much salt in a dish is add sugar. Sugar is the cure for too much salt. So we need to know how we ought to what? Lecture every man. That's not what it says, is it? We need to know how to answer every man. And it takes just a little talking, a lot of ministry, lifestyle, conversation that will cause people to be ashamed to attack you because of the way you behave and the way you treat other people. We don't need to waste time with those that are not interested. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with them. Don't waste time with people who are not interested in asking questions. Don't waste time with people who are living purposefully in sin, especially after they've had the testimony of being interested in entering the kingdom. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says in verse 17 and 18, basically, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate. One thing that we learned last week, what happens when we start hobnobbing with the other crowd? We become like them. Separation is important. Because as soon as you become involved in what their lifestyle, then your lifestyle is not discreet. It doesn't produce an open door for edification. Separation does. So, I hope this has given you a little insight in how the Lord wants us to conduct our lives in relationship to other believers. If you're having fellowship with a brother that's asking questions, and you have answers, He'll find you out and the Lord will allow you to minister and to help Him and to grow in the Word. May the Lord help us to study, to labor, to work, to keep our mouth shut. And put the lid on the salt shaker. So we don't over-season our brother with too much salt. Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word. We thank you for its counsel. We just pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us where we don't take it. And we just pray, Lord, you'd help us to know when to speak a word in season and know when to keep our mouth shut and to walk in wisdom toward those that are in the family but have no interest in entering the kingdom and ruling and reigning with you. Bless the message to each of our hearts, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.